Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
So we're going to have to be, we're just going to have to be okay with this. I am waiting for a shipment from UPS. It is my new computer. So if it arrives during this recording, you're going to hear the doorbell. And then you're going to hear me go, oh, boy. And then I'm going to leave for a couple of minutes.
And then I'll be back tomorrow.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So that's just a heads up. I just know that I've been waiting for it all day so far. Who knows when UPS comes on a Saturday?
I couldn't tell you. I know my mail came already.
Yeah. Says out for delivery. But that's not enough information.
No.
No, it's not.
No, not at all.
What I want is a UP or a GPS tracker, a GPS UPS tracker, so I can follow the truck. Go find it.
You mean like, I think what one of those pizza places, I think it's Domino's, has that.
Domino's has like,
you can
little,
actually follow the driver.
It's like the little flash app that has a little cartoon guy making the pizza.
No, it's like a bar that fills up as it gets closer to you.
Right.
But
yeah. I sometimes, if I'm feeling especially lazy and if they're running a deal, use an app to get food delivered to my house from establishments that don't normally deliver food, you know?
Yeah. And like where?
What's that?
Like where?
Like Qdoba. Sometimes you want a burrito, but you don't feel like going there waiting in the line.
Yeah, that's why I don't eat burritos, is because of the line.
Fuck you. No. And that gives you the ability to track the underpaid gig economy victim, you know, on their way to where you're at.
Why is that my fault?
Why is it your fault that they're underpaid? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Systemic reasons.
Why are you bearing that responsibility?
I'm not. I don't know.
I'm sure that white men deliver food.
Oh, they do. Yeah. It's mostly been like white dudes in their late 30s are the people who bring me my food. Yeah.
It's a hobby.
Yeah. Hey Chris, what episode is this?
I don't know.
It's 208.
Oh, it's episode number 208 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yep. Your name is?
I'm Chris.
Yeah, and I'm Dr. DJ Rufunculus, and we're here to entertain your asses. No, I'm Cole. We're here to entertain your asses. We went to a concert.
We did.
Yeah. Did you have fun?
Fairly unremarkable in the sense that nothing weird happened.
it was just a good show. Did you expect them to like did you expect a Guar show? Did you expect Ockerville River to open up a fire hose full of blood?
Kinda.
No.
Just the people there. There was nobody that was out of line or weird or not like us.
Right. It was a lot of people in their mid 30s.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was fun.
Just standing around.
Yeah.
4 hours.
they played a lot of rarities. I was very happy with that.
Nothing but the best. Nothing but the hits.
They notably didn't play For Real. I was very surprised by that.
Yet they played Smack That.
Yep. They threw that in. It was their only cover. Till the sweat drips off my balls. Yeah. I don't know what's going on, man. What's happening? You don't have the kid this week. She's on vacation. We avoided that bullet.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'm good. It's good.
It's good.
Just been on my lonesome. I haven't felt good all week, really.
Yeah, we had to postpone because you are feeling better.
But yeah, but it was an all week kind of thing. I had like a 10-day flu.
Ugh. Gross. Well, I'm very sorry about that.
Which is a novel written by Mr. Crow.
What? Who's Mr. Crow?
He's an author. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
You're trying to be too serious today.
Sorry, man. I'm just
trying to
fucking, knocked over my tongue.
Trying to get everybody all riled up about the Uber apartheid.
No. I'm not trying to get everybody riled up. I was just making a flippant comment. There was no value judgment associated with what I said.
Cole, I think I need to correct your vocabulary. A gig is something you kill a frog with. What they're doing is a job.
Excuse me. I learned those words from the liberal news. Is that what they call it?
Yeah. Liberal news.
What is a gig? I've heard of frog gigging before. Is it a kind of spear?
Yeah, it's that three-pronged pitchfork that you stab the amphibians with.
Mm.
Because you want to eat their legs. All of that sounds completely normal.
Yep, all of that adds up entirely. That doesn't sound like the behavior of a madman.
I'm going to stab you with this trident so I can eat your legs.
You ever had frog legs?
I've looked at them. That's enough for me.
Yeah, I've never had it either. I understand, like most things, it tastes like chicken. I think the most exotic meat I've ever eaten was
damn.
What?
I'm sorry.
Did you get a?
I had my alarm go off.
Oh, huh. At 2:45.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not to make this not evergreen.
Okay.
Yeah. No. The most exotic. All right. I had alligator jerky once.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was okay. Just tasted like jerky.
Sun-dried fish once.
A dried sunfish?
No, like a sun-dried fish. Like put salt on it and set it in the sun and then let it dehydrate itself.
Yep. You let the bacteria come in, take it over, infest it, replace all the meat with their dead cells, and then you eat that. It's like a solid kombucha.
Oh, God.
It's not a it's a rare occasion that I make you go usually you're doing that to me.
I'm here for your legs.
Why, sir, why are you menacing me with that trident?
gives me the legs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, who exactly are you doing there, buddy?
I don't know, a mix of a few people.
Yeah,
I had three people come to mind and then I did them all at once.
Yep. Jean-Claude Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope, that's only two people.
Well, it's a different Claude.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Claude Gable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was Clark's attic brother.
Yep. They rolled him out for a couple of those trucker buddy movies, you know. Smokey and the dialysis machine. Oh, jeez.
God. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, we're cutting right to the chase. Usually we fuck around a bit, but okay.
No, we did that already.
Okay, all right, jeez, whatever.
Banter. Yes, much banter.
Yes, banter good.
You probably thought ducks were cute waddlers and liked to eat your stale bread. Poof. Your bubble has been burst.
And I mean, they're horrible monsters. They're terrible.
BBC reports wild mallard ducks have been spotted eating other birds, swallowing one nearly whole, an extraordinary behavior that has never been observed before.
Is this climate change? Is this what climate change looks like?
I don't know. The ducks will go mad.
Thanks, Al.
Why does Al Gore always talk like he's greeting people at a funhouse? Anyway, so this zoologist, she's chilling in the bushes, bird watching in a reservoir in Romania, spots a flock of mallards, One lands, female duck grabbed the gray wagtail in her beak, ducked it under the water several times, and then ate it.
Oh, she dipped it. She didn't want to get stuck going down. She's like a little bird Joey Chestnut.
Right. Okay. Though mallards in California have been sighted munching on sand crabs, the ducks usually eat plants, insects, and the occasional small fish.
Right.
Such predatory behavior not involving fish or amphibians has been seen before.
Right.
It's not only very rare, but also likely a new phenomenon.
It's going to spread. Is this like a hundredth monkey kind of thing?
Noting that mallards, quote, have not really evolved.
Huh.
To digest bones and feathers.
Okay. What I thought you were saying was that they were living fossils, that they were unchanged since time immemorial. Okay. So you put that pause in a weird place. What you said was they have not evolved to handle having bones in their gullet.
Sure.
Okay.
And she correct me some more.
No, I just the way you phrase that, it sounded intentional and it misled me.
Oh. Maybe that was the point.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
But if I missed it, you would have like halted everything, backed us up 30 seconds and then made sure I saw it.
Saw what? My error?
No, the thing that you're claiming to have done intentionally.
Ugh, I'm having a problem.
Yeah. What's your problem?
Oh, my browser's stuck. Oh no.
Yeah. Well, you solve that, and I'll just kind of vamp. This is the second such story that we've seen in a little bit, right? Remember a couple episodes ago, talking about the deer who rolled up on the body farm.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, just all of a sudden here's a deer with a taste for human meat. There's also the I think in that same story there's that famous video of the pelican eating a pigeon. It's rare. They're crimes of opportunity. I think that's what we saw here. I think that when you consider the duck, when you consider the mallard, you know, looks real calm, just kind of gliding along the surface, but beneath the surface, underneath the water, them legs are a kicking. You know, I think that is a metaphor writ large for ducks in general, because there's not a lot of courtesy among ducks. Have you solved your browser problem?
Percocet. Molly Percocet.
Are those the names of your ducks?
Never trust a bitch. Yeah, I got it. I had to task manager it.
Oh, yeah.
Good vamping, though.
Okay, cool. I didn't expect you to listen to it.
No, I did.
Okay.
It was about ducks.
I've got a story for you here. This is out of Corpus Christi, Texas. And this is kind of one of my worst fears. You ever read the story of the Cask of Amontillado by Edgar Allan Poe?
I think I drank it once.
How'd you get out? Because in the story, it's two socialites. One gets the other incredibly drunk, says, "Hey, let's go to my cellar. I've got some amazing wine for you from the Cask of Amontillado."
Yeah, I know, and they just keep going and going.
Well, they go, and then he bricks him up into the wall. He buries him alive in the cellar. This is a modern day version of that.
did he only feed him monkey's paws?
Yeah. Not a lot of meat on the monkey's paw is the thing.
Would he unbrick it and play the board game, the most dangerous game? Is that what it's called? The most deadly game? Which one is it?
Stay Alive? I don't know.
I don't think so. You know, where they go to that island at that Monte Cristo's house and eat the sandwich that is his namesake.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then he hunts them.
The Countdown of Monte Cristo. Yeah. It's like a time game. You have to get it through. It's like Mousetrap.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what McDonald's should do. They should put a Monte Cristo on the menu.
I wouldn't trust it. But then again, I don't really trust them to handle guacamole, but they seem to be really excited about doing that.
Right. Hey, there's something on Netflix that I'd like to recommend to you.
Oh, I was in the middle of a story, but okay.
To you people.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's called Fried.
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny.
Well, what I recommend is it a documentary?
No, it's like, I think it's like 6 or 8 episodes, one of the two. I don't know. It's a British TV show about a group of people that work at a fried chicken place called Seriously Fried Chicken.
Those other places are just joking. Yeah.
I don't know. It reminded me of Todd Margaret.
Okay. Had that same sensibility.
Ways. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll finish the story. So Corpus Christi, Texas, man is working on the ATM. And some of those ATMs that are built into a building, they have like a small little room, you know, where you go behind them to service them, right? You know, they're just built into the building. Guy gets locked in there. Okay. So all of a sudden he's working with a time limit, and there's only so much air, and he's left his cell phone in his truck. So what's a man to do? What's a man to do, Chris?
How do you whip it out?
Right. You clear your head, you whip it out, jack one. That way, you know, you're not distracted, and then you set about your business. In this case, he took some small slips of paper and wrote messages begging for help. Please help. I'm stuck in here. I don't have my phone. Please call my boss. And then feed them out the receipt slot. And much like I would do if I was in that situation, I would assume it was a joke and rumple it up, throw it away, flip off the camera so I'm not going to be featured in the piece, and then walk away. Yeah.
Who knew there was a room behind those?
I didn't. I figured that the money had to come from somewhere. I figured it was some kind of tray. I figured there's just a tray with the money.
It's a living.
Oh, man. I don't know. You don't see a lot of ATMs anymore.
No, you just have to go to a bank, and then they have an ATM there, I think.
Yeah, it's
both. I think that, and then gas stations.
Oh,
bars,
yeah. They got
strip clubs.
They've got those tiny ones. They've got those tiny ones that you wrap your chain around and then connect to the back of your truck and then rip it out the front.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What you don't see is ATMs in affluent areas.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I don't, at least.
Yeah. The only ATM like near me is it's like in the middle of the parking lot at the shopping center that I live near.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Cole, have you ever been to Colonial Williamsburg?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you?
No.
Okay.
The Living History Museum at Virginia's 18th century capital announced plans Thursday. It really doesn't matter. Announced plans recently to contract with outside companies to run its golf landscaping, retail, and other operations. Colonial Williamsburg plans to outsource many of its commercial operations and lay off workers in response to declining attendance and hundreds of millions in debt. Yeah. One of the major changes includes closing the Kimball Theater, which hasn't been profitable since 1999.
Kind of a bad run. Got about 18 right. years going.
Selling this ass hasn't been profitable since 1983. under the restructuring, 71 employees will be laid off by the end of the year. Another 262 will eventually be affected. Said it suffered operating losses last year of $54 million. They lost $148,000 a day.
Hey guys, what are you doing? Walking around and noticing you got a lot of strange clothes. Seems to be veering out of pants territory over into pantaloons, huh? And your Herald's Bell budget is how much a day? Can't reuse those.
$148,000 a day.
Jeez.
Colonial Williamsburg.
Yeah.
If we're going to rededicate ourselves to our core educational mission, we can no longer do everything the way we did in 1976 or 1986 or even 2006.
By 2006, definitely don't do things the way you did in 2006, because there was nothing. There's like that, like you were not profitable even then.
How's about doing what you were doing in 1999? Because that was the last time you were profitable.
Right.
Go back there.
And it's not like they need to turn, you know, they don't need to make money. It's educational. I don't imagine museums make a lot of money. It just, you don't like blow three people's whole salaries every single day is the thing that I would say. Huh. Yeah, I went there, sometime in, the year 2000. I was like, yeah, it's really hot and everything kind of stinks. Okay. I'm sure it was fine. I just don't remember anything about it besides those two things. Yeah. It's
Sorry, America. Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny.
We're over it.
Yeah. Get with the times. Get a sponsorship deal. Hear ye.
With a knack.
Half off on Pepsi when you buy a hot dog at ye old 7-Eleven.
Jesus.
Yeah, just kind of work it up, you know?
Why don't you roll back the clock and put, you know, start stocking the gift shop with I don't know, crystal clear Pepsi and slap bracelets.
Yeah, the deals are coming. The deals are coming.
John Adams pogs.
Yeah, no, just ride that Hamilton wave, you know?
Right.
Hamilton everything. Who cares if he was never in Virginia?
Why don't you do spins on it?
Yeah.
Why don't you get different races and ethnicities to like take it over one year to the next?
Yeah. Just rotate. You know what? And while you're doing the spins on it, have them with fidget spinners.
Right. No, but just take over the entire Colonial Williamsburg, you know, and kind of like maybe one year do like, you know, let Tyler Perry do it.
Oh, man.
Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
Maybe he could do it.
Yeah, I think he's going to do it.
He did Dunkirk.
Yeah. People say that's good.
I know. I want to see it. I think it's only like 120 minutes, too. So that's those are words.
Yeah. That's what I think. Huh. It's funny. Like they say, oh, we can't keep doing things that we did in 1976. That sets up the idea that they expected that bicentennial train to just keep on rolling. You know, like, oh, them tall ships ain't never going to sink, you know?
No, I mean, but 76 was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like of all the years that you could cite, like, yes, of course, nothing is ever going to be as good as 76. Like that's a windfall. Squirrel that away, you know, save that to get to get that sweet, sweet Hamilton license.
Who's this Hamilton you're talking about?
Alexander Hamilton.
That sounds made up.
Yeah, no, he was a character. Yeah.
Okay.
I said something there, and this wasn't a story that I prepared, but I want to I want to mention it anyway. This came up in a discussion that I was having earlier this week. So you know the Pornhub Insights blog.
I don't know the blog.
We've talked about some stuff from this before, but Pornhub has
I don't remember the blog.
It's just where they put a lot of these. Pornhub has this whole research arm where they just like look at the stats and try to optimize things. And part of that is kind of noticing just timing of stuff and, you know, noticing the, you know, like well, what's popular, what should we market? Like just it is a data driven company. And the Insights blog, you know, just has all of this good stuff. Like recently they had like, oh, what are the most common misspelled porn searches? Which is pretty good. So people who were searching for something, Ohio is really into Miffles, which is pretty good. And Oregon, I know a lot of people are into or you know, listen to us in Oregon. They love porn. And so does California for that matter. But no, okay. the Inside blog, it's safe for work aside from the content. There are no like images or anything. It's just a lot of data and charts about this stuff. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this is made for me because I'm fascinated by pornography. I'm fascinated by data. So here we go. No, this is came out in May or so. An article saying that fidget spinners have captured the imagination of the porn viewing public. Okay. And it was a very rapid search. So you can kind of see exactly when everything started popping off. Like you can watch as it hockey sticks, because like right around May 10th of this year, like, hey, a little blip, all right, just a couple of percentages, right? And okay. Then you know, and then boom, right around May 15th, between May 15th and May 16th, it jumped from about 0.5 on the scale here all the way up to 2.5. So it, five times, ultimately cresting on May the 21st at 3.5. So a 7x increase, like as people figured out, hey, fidget spinners are really popular. So in just 10 days, 2.5 million fidget spinner searches on Pornhub. Okay. Fifth most popular search term in May. I don't have the most recent data on this, but I have to imagine it might have tailed off, but like it's going to hit this kind of long tail where people are just kind of always going to look at this for a while. Here's the weird thing. Okay. Because they have this data, women are 19% more likely to search for this. And they're most popular with people in the age group of 18 to 24. All right. So 186% more popular than it is with any other group. So I'm not going to go and search for what fidget spinner porn is, but I just wanted to share that because this is crazy.
I'm going to have to take a look at it, I guess.
Yeah. Are you going and looking? Yeah,
no, yeah. Not at the moment.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to skip that.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of nuts. I don't know. I see them. I kind of want to buy one just so I can see what they're all about, but I don't know. They seem expensive for what they are.
But this blog is curated.
It is a very, very good blog. Pornhub.com/insights.
Huh.
Yeah. It is good stuff.
Mormon girls filled with God's love.
Oh, jeez. Oh, let's hear popular search terms all related to pizza. At the top, we have pizza delivery, which is massively popular. But down at the very bottom, you know, like right before the cutoff, we have the phrase pizza that ass.
I'm going to get a pizza that ass.
Just pizza that ass.
Break me off a pizza that ass.
I don't know.
All right. Here's the thing. This is, you're probably not going to like this too much, but
jeez.
Every month, 18-year-old Tulasi Sahi was among Nepali women and girls banished from their community to a, quote, menstruation hut.
Okay, there you go. See, that's the kind of bait and switch that you need to do, because the idea of a menstruation hunt is far more upsetting to me than the idea of a menstruation hunt.
Yeah.
Continue.
So this lady, she ended up getting bitten by a poisonous snake while she was in the menstruation hut.
No, it's her fault.
She was taken to a shaman. Didn't have the anti-venom, so.
I called the witch doctor. He told me, no. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so menstruation hut. She passed.
She was given proper treatment, she would have survived.
Oh, that's awful.
She died because of superstition.
Yeah, I feel bad for that joke that I made. Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. And hey, you know, if we impeach Trump, guess what? Pence is going to come in. Menstruation hut in every garage.
So the practice is chapati. I believe that's how I would say it.
Okay.
Of making women go to away for a bit. And actually, that's actually not in Native American communities back in the day. That's the way it was too.
Yeah. Well,
they thought that the menstruation and all that was going to suck the will of warriors.
Right. Right. I think it was a thing in biblical times too. That's why I made that Pence joke, but like they would send women out of the village.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's so this is like, it's, what is it? convergent evolution of ideas. Like the fact that this popped up in so many different cultures says something pretty upsetting about just the general way we think about women. Huh.
I guess. Yeah. Here's the menstruation hut.
Yeah, that's a. Just deal with it. What's that noise?
Deal with it.
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it. Like just whatever. Just deal with it. You know. I mean, like not. I'm saying just deal with it to the people who might send women away. That's just a shitty thing to do. No, just you know, don't send somebody away. Like we figured this out. I'm not telling the women to just deal with it. That's not my bag.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
There's a fist in my ass. Just deal with it.
What?
I said there's a fist in my ass. Just deal with it.
You said that like Woody from from Toy Story. There's a fist in my ass.
Is that the dog?
Instead of there's a snake in my boot. Yeah, yeah. The dog from Toy Story. Voiced by what's his name? Jim Varney. Slink?
I don't think so. I thought it was John Ratzenberger.
No, you're thinking of the pig, I think. The piggy bank.
It's been a long time.
Your daughter's not a Pixar person. She doesn't like those movies.
Well, she's kind of too old for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you get old and you don't like the things you used to anymore.
I'm sorry. This is a foreign concept to me.
You just get older and then you lose your affinity for things you used to like.
What?
Yeah.
No, come on.
Like Chinese buffets and Brothers.
We can't end it there. The episode's too short. that'd be a pretty good one. I've got a story for you here. So summertime here as
in the living's easy.
Yep, back of my neck, dirty and gritty. It's summertime and a lot of people are going on some roller coasters. I forget, are you a roller coaster person, Chris?
I am certainly not.
Certainly not. Okay, I remember we took a couple of trips like to Cedar Point or to King's Island. Then I remember you going on some coasters, but was that just like with our stepsisters who are more into that?
I didn't go. I maybe went on one or two. I don't ride too many roller coasters.
Right.
And I'm certainly not going upside down.
No, especially because you especially won't after I tell you about this. I think that maybe this was a story well before we, started doing the show, but I found out about it and I want to share the idea, because if you are going to choose to end your life, you know, that I think that should be a right that people have, you know, especially, you know, with medical conditions and things, you want to make sure that you're doing it in the best way possible. Right. The most considerate way, you know, a way that's not going to bring you some suffering. And so to that end, I want to tell you, Chris, about the euthanasia coaster.
Okay.
Okay. This was developed, in 2010 by...
Oh, wait. Is that the thing where it's like a Rube Goldberg machine that shoots you in the head?
No.
Oh.
No. You're thinking of the Last Breakfast machine.
No, we did a story about that, I think, where the guy like set up some contraption that involved marbles and straws and shit.
Yeah. No, this is different. This is... No, this is different, but it might be a similar idea. This is done by a roller coaster designer and conceptual artist named Julie Jonas Urbonas, which is a great name, for his PhD thesis at the Royal College of Art in London. Okay, so this is a relatively simple coaster. Starts out, takes you up about, let's say, 1,670 feet, so about a third of a mile, all right? It'll take you a little bit to get up there, all right?
Okay.
And then it drops you pretty much straight down, and then after that, there are a series of loop-de-loops. So in the model that I'm looking at, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they are of descending size. So the first one's real big. Next one's kind of small. The next one's smaller than that, down to where it's really, really tiny. You're not accelerating through it. You know, it is like a roller coaster. It's all the potential energy being transferred. But the idea behind the smaller and smaller ones is to maintain a constant G force. Now, the way this kills you is not through any kind of like violent action. It doesn't like snap your neck or anything. What is it? The ride's 7 inversions would inflict 10 G's on its passengers for 60 seconds. When you have, when you're under those kind of G forces, it's difficult for a human to breathe. What that does is it suffocates you. Induces a prolonged state of cerebral hypoxia. Okay, so gigantic hill, 7 loops of descending size, you know, so that for 60 seconds you can't breathe. And then it circles back around. There's a flat area where the attendants come and remove all the corpses, load up the next crew, and then they go again.
Okay. Yeah. What a line.
You know, just remove all the corpses. But I just wanted to share with you that this exists. It's never been done, you know, to a massive scale, to a real scale. I mean, a third of a mile up is pretty high, but yeah, this is a way. And I think that if we were a more humane society, there would be one of these in every town.
Well, I think that there's way cheaper ways. I mean, that's
okay. There are way cheaper ways, but are there way cooler ways?
No, but I guess I thought, you know, if we're going to keep Colonial Williamsburg open, we probably should save a few bucks.
I'll just put one there. Make it an attraction.
Oh, well, you know.
Hear ye, the corpse chute is plugged.
It ends at the beginning.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Yeah. They can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support the entire network of Duckfeed shows. Thank you so much. If you back at the $10 level, you get 2 bonus episodes of Abject Suffering. You get an episode of Adaptation Decay, our show about bad video game movies and such. Not necessarily bad, but about movies and stuff based on video games. And the kind of making of show that Gary and I do, where we answer your questions and talk about the shows. It's a cool way to help out the entire network. Other than that, leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, if you please, and come back next time. Chris, am I missing anything?
No, I think you got it. Your money situation's looking good on Patreon. You've been growing a little bit.
Yeah, we had that redesign.
It's all the rage.
Yeah, we're trending. I don't know that we're trending. I don't even know that Patreon keeps track of trending. Yeah, but until next time, sorry, America.
Sorry.